It's 11 o'clock, and this is Centennial College Radio News. I'm Miho Takaya with Louise Tam and Ashley Russell. Looking at the weather outside our East York studios, it's a cool and sunny 4 degrees. Now, here are the headlines. Conservative government promised the early solution of RCMP scandal. Dam school board and striking sport workers agreed to mediation. Brothers of former Premier Tim Peterson defected from Liberals. Now to our top story. The Conservatives are investigating fraud and corruption of executive RCMP members. The scandal was revealed last fall when millions of dollars were withdrawn in the pension and insurance plans. Prime Minister Stephen Harper and Public Safety Minister Stockwell Day promised to solve the issue. Striking workers and Durham District School Board agreed to mediation. All custodians, secretaries, technical staff, and educational assistants in the 132 schools have been on strike for a week. 4 days mediation will be started from today. No media will be present. Mississauga South MPP Tim Peterson has left the Liberals. He is expected to run for the Conservative Party in the October election. He is a brother of Ontario's former Liberal Premier David Peterson. Because of his family's long history with the Liberals, his move was responded with a surprise. Justice Annemarie Bonkor has been appointed as the first female Chief Justice of Ontario. Attorney General Michael Bryant says her 30 years of judicial experience will be an asset to her position. She will be taking over on May 4th from Justice Brian Lennox. For the past 2 years, she has been Associate Chief Justice for the Toronto Justice System. This city needs to be a greener place, says one scientist from the state. Dr. David Novak, a senior research scientist with the United States Forest Service, gave a presentation on Wednesday of last week about why trees are good for the city. A standing room only crowd of 100 people showed up for the event, which was hosted by both Ryerson University of Department of Geography and the environmentalist group called LEAF, or Local Enhancement and Appreciation of Forests. Louise Tam reports.
Summer's just around the corner, and one scientist from the U.S. Forest Service says planting more trees in the city can mean big savings. In his presentation at Metro Hall last week, Dr. David Nowak said bringing more trees to the city can reduce air conditioning costs, as trees cool the city with shade in the summer. They also reduce smog, which can cause heart problems and respiratory diseases. The amount of ground covered by trees in Toronto has shrank by about 20% in the past 10 years, thanks mainly to housing development and exotic diseases or pests like the Asian longhorn beetle. To beat back this trend, Nowak says people should have a reason to want to plant more trees.
There should be tax incentives to promote people to plant trees on their property.
Dr. Nowak's presentation may have been all talk, but Todd Irvine, a member of an environmentalist group called Local Enhancement and Appreciation of Forests, or LEAF, says we should be pushing city councillors to act on improving green spaces in Toronto.
I would say the next thing to do is exactly what Dr. Nowak showed that slide, is ask them, do they have a plan? Do they have a plan? What are they doing 5 years from now? What are they doing 10 years from now? What are they doing 20 years from now?
None of the city's 44 councillors attended the presentation, but they had a good excuse, because they were all busy at a City Hall budget meeting at the time. This is Louise Tam reporting for Centennial College Radio News.
And that's the latest news. Now here is Louise with sports.
Thanks, Miho, and hi, everyone. Well, another disappointment for the Leafs last night, losing 3-2 to Atlanta in overtime. The Leafs' Johnny Paul and Hal Gill racked up 2 goals in the first and third periods, tying the game 2-2 and bringing it into overtime. But it wasn't enough to hold the Thrashers off. Atlanta's Slava Kozlov managed to slip the puck past Raycroft after 4 minutes of overtime for the final goal. Last night's setback was the fourth road game in a row the Leafs have lost since the beginning of March. Right now, they're sitting in ninth place in the Eastern Conference, just shy of a playoff spot. The Leafs will battle Pittsburgh at the ACC on Saturday. On the other hand, the Raptors are having much better luck, beating the Miami Heat by a score of 96-83 on Wednesday night. Despite being plagued by a series of injuries, the Raptors fared rather well, with Anthony Parker racking up 20 points in the game. The Raptors are currently sitting in third place in the Eastern Conference. Their next game will be against the Washington Wizards tonight at 7. And Canada's Brett Hayden may have brought home a gold medal in the 100-meter freestyle yesterday, but the Team Canada swimmer admits he wasn't always a natural. He once told the Toronto Star about his first swimming lesson, in which he was crying for his father to come save him in the water. Hayden's gold medal was the first of Canada's gold medals in the World Aquatic Championships since 1986. And in soccer news, the Toronto FC managed a 2-1 victory over the New York Red Bulls in their second preseason game last night. The only bad thing was, nobody was around to see it. A total of 12 spectators showed up to watch the Carolina Challenge Cup in South Carolina, where Toronto's Edson Buttle scored the game's winning goal. Next up for the FC are the Charleston Battery, who they will play on Saturday. And some big names in sports are interested in using U of T's newly built sports dome. Renting it out to professional sports events and practices could mean added revenue for the university. However, students would be unable to use the facility at all. Jason Hahalia has his report.
U of T students have been in an uproar after learning that they can't use their own sports dome. On March 2nd, a university council voted against raising student fees by $10. Normally, students hate paying more money, but this fee would have gone into operating their newly built dome. Because of the no vote on raising fees, students will get pushed aside in favor of everyone else when it comes to the dome's usage, says Masha Sidorova, co-chair of the university's Council of Athletics and Recreation.
It's a hot facility. Everybody wants a piece of it. It was built for the students. Unfortunately, we might have to give it away, and we really, really don't want to.
Because students won't be paying for the dome, where will the money come from needed to run it? Well, it's going to come from those who are willing to pay for the space. Adam Pomper, also a co-chair of the Athletics Council, is fully aware of how the university will benefit from giving space to other athletics organizations.
People knocking on the door, you know, they want to give millions of dollars to rent our facility. CFL, you know, we can rent it 24 hours a day, 365 days a year if we wanted to. And the faculty can make millions of dollars, but that's not what we want to do.
But even though a $10 increase might seem like a little bit to get a big arena, there are some students who oppose the way it's being handled by the university.
Waleed Kogali of UTM.
And it's unfortunate that a minority doesn't like what's happening, what's going on. And you know what? The student experience sucks at U of T just because the university is not willing to put more funding.
The no vote decision has until May 1st to be revised. If the university agrees to go ahead with raising fees, students will be able to butt heads with each other over a game of lacrosse. If not, they'll be butting heads with the administrators to get back what was theirs to begin with. This is Jason Hahalia, Centennial College Radio News.
And that's all from the world of sports. Stay with us after the break when Ashley will have all the buzz from Tinseltown.
Good evening. You are probably expecting me to say that my name is Count Dracula and that I am a vampire. Do you know what makes a vampire? Do you really? It is not the hair. Bah. Greasy kid stuff. It's not the cape made from your sister's husband's bed sheet. No, it's the fangs that make the vampire. Now you too can have the fangs. Dress up for parties. Frighten the trick-or-treaters on Halloween. These plastic marvels fit over your regular teeth. But once there, you'll be the hit of the party. Amaze and delight your girlfriend. It is so much fun. I know. So send for your fangs today. Send $2.98 to Fang, Box 1001, Central City, Tennessee. Or dial toll-free 800-DRA-CULA. Order before midnight tonight. That's an order.
Welcome back, everyone. And here's the latest in Canadian entertainment. After a day of fussing and fighting, many Canadians will be happy to know that this year's Juno Awards will not be postponed to a later time Sunday night. The controversy started when CTV announced on Wednesday that the Junos would follow the reality show The Amazing Race at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Critics felt CTV was catering to American interests and treating the Canadian Music Awards show as secondary. On the other hand, CTV felt that since The Amazing Race attracted 1.8 million viewers last week, it would be a great way to lead into the awards show. But critics won the battle, and the Junos will be broadcasted at 7 p.m. Eastern Time this Sunday on CTV. Singer Nelly Furtado is hosting the event and is up for 5 Junos. The band that started right here in Toronto almost 4 years ago and has since grown into a full-blown touring act with a revolving lineup of musicians was back at the Phoenix Concert Theater last night. Ryan Nesbitt has a story on Classic Albums Live double album performance.
Classic Albums Live was back at Phoenix last night. They may just be the hardest working band in the business. Not only did they perform U2's The Joshua Tree and War back to back, no breaks, they produced albums exactly as they sound on record, note for note and cut for cut. It's hard to go wrong with songs as catchy as U2's, but the band's dedication to musicianship really showed, and fans like Marion Meanders applauded them for it.
there's a few really amazing players. There's the guitarist, Clifton, and the drummer. I don't know his name, but his drummer is amazing. I've listened to it so many times that it becomes like a common knowledge of U2.
If you didn't make it to the U2 show, you can catch the band back at the Phoenix on March 17th when they perform Pink Floyd's The Wall, and again on April 19th for their 4th anniversary bash. On that date, they're playing Exile on Main Street by the Rolling Stones. This is Ryan Nesbitt, Centennial College Radio News.
As for another fellow Canadian trying to make her mark in the music industry, Melissa Smith was in the bottom two on last week's episode of The Search for the Next Doll. For those of you who don't know, the show is about nine girls who are trying to be the newest member of the pop group The Pussycat Dolls. Melissa S., as they call her on the show, was born right here in Toronto but grew up in Michigan. She's Canadian, so why not root for her? But her 15 minutes of fame might be over pretty soon since the judges almost knocked her out of the competition last week. You can catch The Search for the Next Doll every Tuesday at 9 p.m. on City TV. And that's all from me. Now let's send it back to Miho for the wrap.
Thanks, Luis and Ashley. On behalf of all of us here at Centennial College Radio News, thanks for listening and have a great afternoon.